When asked to do the sermon today, I was like, yeah, I'll do it, because I really want to do a sermon, because the last time I did a sermon was during my sister Erica's baptism, and that was a really long time ago, like in January, so I am ready to do another sermon. So, thank you for the support, Jenna. Okay, so let's open with a word of prayer, shall we? Dear Jesus, we thank you so much for this Sabbath day, and thank you for blessing us with an amazing week of VBS. We pray that you will open our hearts and minds to learn about you, and thank you for everything you do for us. And as the service goes on, I pray that you'll bless everyone and bless my message, that everyone will be blessed by my message, and please be with those who couldn't make it today. And we pray all this in your name. Amen. So, as you've seen in your bulletins, and as Amy has mentioned, my sermon title is When the World is a Jungle. Now, to some of the kids, as this does sound familiar, so can anyone tell me where this is from?
The theme song,
the VBS theme song. Sorry, I probably should have let you guys raise your hands. And the theme song was really awesome this year. And it goes, when the world is a jungle, you are by my side, and you will never let me go, your promises are mine. And so this sermon is going to be a reflection of our VBS theme. So why is that? Because this world is a crazy jungle full of crazy things, but through them all, God is by our side. So in Psalms 145, verse 18, it says, the Lord is nigh, which means near, unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Many people fear that God will leave them, or are taught that if they mess up even once, God will abandon them, but that is simply not true. This verse tells us that God is near to those who call upon him even in the lowest, darkest parts of their lives, or if they feel trapped in the world, which is a crazy jungle. Calling out to him in prayer, he will hear you, and he is willing to save you. And in Deuteronomy 31, verse 8, it says, and the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. If you let him, God will be your guide through life. He will never abandon you, he will never quit on you, and he will never, ever stop loving you. So each day of VBS had a different Bible story and went with the theme of the day. So the theme of the day was, Jesus loves me, I am saved. Jesus loves me, I am brave. Jesus loves me, I am free. And Jesus loves me, I am joyful. And for the I am saved, what was the story? Can anyone tell me for the story? Adam and Eve. And for I am brave, can anyone tell me that story? Esther, Eden got them all memorized. I am free, Moses, and the last one, I am joyful, is the 10 lepers. Eden's filling in the blanks for me. So I'm going to recap these stories for you all today and tie them into my sermon title, When the World is a Jungle. So this world was never, ever made to be this crazy. God made this world a perfect creation. It all started with the story of creation. God made the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. The first two people God created were Adam and Eve. And they were made in the image of God. Their jobs were to take care of the garden he created for them. They could eat any fruit or veggie from the garden except from one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But why? Why was it so bad to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? God put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden to give Adam and Eve a choice to obey him or disobey him. From the beginning, when God created humans, he gave us free will. If he didn't, we would be going around like robots. Literally, we'd be going around like robots. In order for Adam and Eve to be completely free, they had to have a choice, which came from free will. The fruit or tree itself wasn't the problem. It wasn't evil. Let's read in Genesis 3, verse 1 to 8. This is a longer verse, but don't worry. It's not going to be too long. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, For God knows that in the day you, for God knows in the day you will eat it, you will not surely die. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden of the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So what was the serpent getting Eve to do?
Eat the fruit.
Yes, eat the fruit. But the main goal was to get her and Adam to disobey God. Because when they did, their eyes were open to sin, the knowledge of evil. It was the act of disobedience that let sin in and opened Adam and Eve's eyes to evil. Adam and Eve chose of their own free will to disobey God and to eat the forbidden fruit. The results, death, sickness, sin, suffering, human wickedness, pain. These things have plagued the world ever since. But there is a big but. And as you learned in the story, God had a plan B. His plan B was to send his son Jesus to save us from our sins by dying on the cross. He rescued us from sin by sacrificing his life for us. He rose again and went to heaven to prepare heaven for us. In John 14, verse 3, it says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." So if we accept Jesus in our hearts, Jesus will save us and we will be able to go to heaven. This story was told on day one of VBS as we went over. The action point was, Jesus loves me, I am saved. And even though this world became a crazy jungle ever since sin was let in, God has always been with us and always will be. But we need to keep our hearts open to him, so he can continue to be with us and to protect us from sin. So on day two, we talked about Esther for the theme, Jesus loves me, I am brave. And that's Eden's favorite Bible story, yes. And the story of Esther teaches courage and bravery in the midst of hard and scary times. It encourages us to be brave and strong and stand up for what we believe in, just like Esther did to save her people. An interesting fact about the Bible book Esther is that God is never mentioned. But why? Never. He's never mentioned even once. And I was like, really? Oh, I never knew that. And then I read, because the author wanted the readers to look for God's activity in the book. Now, this is interesting. Sometimes we must look for God ourselves in this crazy world, which is a jungle, because God tells us to seek first and ye shall find. So the story goes, Esther became queen, replacing Queen Vashti. This was when Haman was very powerful. Haman hated Mordecai, hated him, and plotted to have him killed by getting King Xerxes to make a decree to have the Jews executed. King Xerxes at the time didn't know that Mordecai or Esther were Jews because they kept their Jewish identity a secret. Esther was the only hope for her people, and that's a lot of pressure. Mordecai tells Esther in Esther 4, verse 14, saying, "For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" So in this verse, through faith, Mordecai knows God will deliver the Jews either way, with or without Esther. But he is telling Esther God has a purpose for her, and not fulfilling this purpose will cause her to live a life of unfulfillment. And this verse calls us to live faithfully to God's plan. This whole story basically encourages us to have faith in God's plan for us. If we remain faithful to God, he will give us never-ending courage to go through anything this world throws at us. And it was really hard and scary for Esther to tell the king what Haman was planning and doing, because revealing Haman's true self was also revealing her true Jewish identity. But with courage, Esther told the king what Haman was up to. The king finding out Haman's true plans made him very angry and upset, and he ordered Haman to be executed in place of the Jews. Esther's Jewish identity did not anger the king. He loved Esther very much, so her identity didn't make him upset. In place of Haman, Mordecai became the king's right-hand man and was given the same exact power as Haman. The action point for day two, which we already went over, is Jesus loves me, I am brave. Through Jesus' love for us, we are brave. Through faith in Jesus, he gives us courage, and the plan he has for us can be fulfilled. So one of my favorite Bible verses is Matthew 21, verse 22, and it says, "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive." Esther asked in prayer for God to give her strength and courage to go to the king and speak the truth. God answered her prayer, and Esther was saved. And on day three, we focused on the Moses story and about how when he led the Israelites out of Egypt, this story is commonly referred to as the Exodus. What we all can learn from the story is that through God, we can be set free from anything sin has trapped us in. God's redemption delivered the Israelites and made them his special people. Moses was a very shy person and wasn't good with words. That's why God put Moses and Aaron together, because Aaron was a better spokesperson. When they went before Pharaoh, Moses told Pharaoh what God told him to say in Exodus 9, verse 1. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Go into Pharaoh and tell him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me.' Pharaoh, of course, refused. So then came the 10 plagues, water turning to blood, frogs, lice, death of livestock, boils, hail, locusts, darkness, and finally, death of the firstborn. All this because Pharaoh refused to let the Israelites go. After the last plague, Pharaoh told Moses to take the Israelites and go. They were finally free. But, plot twist, not for long. For as they came to the Red Sea, Pharaoh sent his army to get the Israelites back. And they thought that was the end of the line, that it was over. But God had other plans. He helped Moses part the Red Sea and all the Israelites cross. But when the Egyptians tried to cross, the Red Sea devoured them. God freed his people. They were in bondage, and he freed them because he had plans for all of them. God's love is so big for us that he sets us free. Free from sin, free from struggles, free from heartache, free from loneliness, free from anything that weighs us down, and free from everything in the world that caused it to be a crazy jungle. The Israelites' world was a crazy jungle because they were in bondage to work for a God that did not pay them or treat them well. For the Israelites, being trapped in Egypt was stopping them from fulfilling God's plan for them. God's love freed the Israelites, and it's the exact same way with Jesus' love. We can all be freed indeed, by accepting Jesus into our lives. And the action point was for day three was, Jesus loves me, I am free. Or free. So. And the last story of the week on day four was taught to us by Pastor Fred, the story of the 10 lepers. Pastor Fred told the story very well. The kids really enjoyed it. This story teaches us to be joyful and thankful for everything Jesus does for us. So leprosy was one of the worst ever diseases to have during the Bible times because they didn't have any proper medication, they didn't have any proper medical care, they had nothing. So people who had leprosy were considered unclean and were often cast out of their villages and homes. Barely anyone could help lepers because they were scared of getting leprosy themselves. As Jesus was passing through Jerusalem, 10 lepers approached him, asking to be healed. Jesus' disciples told Jesus to stay away from them. Don't touch them or don't be touched by them, since leprosy was so highly contagious. But Jesus was not scared. Jesus did not mind because he knew these people needed to be healed, for they had been suffering for so long. He healed all 10 of them and told them to go to the high priest and tell them that they are clean. They were all so happy to be healed by Jesus and went to tell the priest. None of them thanked Jesus except one. One man, a Samaritan, came back to thank Jesus. He was so joyful and thankful to Jesus for healing him from this dreadfully painful disease. So in Luke 17, verse 15 to 19, it says, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 of you cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?' And he said to him, 'Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" The Samaritan's faith made him well. It goes to show you who had faith out of the 10 lepers and who was just using Jesus to get healed. That is why it's very easy to understand this verse that Jesus was so disappointed. He was disappointed that instead of using the moment as a spiritual moment, a spiritual lesson, a moment to connect with Jesus, they ran and left, not truly recognizing how much Jesus did for them, except the faithful Samaritan. It's always good and amazing to praise and thank Jesus for everything he has done and continues to do for us in our lives. And in Hebrews 13, verse 15, it says, "Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to him and his name." This world is a crazy jungle. And through hard times, God encourages us to praise him, appreciate the joyful moments in life, thank him for everything he does, and always remember he is on your side. He will never leave you. His promises are ours and yours to keep. We don't need to fear anything because in the darkness, he is there. He is the light that conquers fear. And he will always lift us up above it all. Jesus loves me. I am joyful. So through Jesus, we are saved. Through courage, bravery, and faith, we are strong. God has a purpose for all of us. God freed us from the bondage of sin, shame, and the power the world can have over us. And the most important part, through love and healing power of Jesus, we can be joyful and give thanks to God who made everything. We are worth so much to him. We are in his hands.